We begin the current daf, Maseches Brachos, daf Mem Gimel. The Gemara begins 5 lines in from the top of the Amud, quoting from the Mishnah on daf Mem Beis, Heisebo Echad Mevarch, that if they are all reclining, then one person makes the Bracha. The quote is from the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, the bottom line, that says, Hayu Yoishvin Kol Echad Mevarch La'atzma, if they were sitting, then everyone makes their own Bracha, however they were reclining together, then one person makes the Bracha for everyone, because that's considered kvius already, it's considered all have a joint meal, so one person can make a Bracha for everyone. So the Gemara discusses the ramification of the Halach and the Mishnah. Amar Rav. The halacha of the Mishnah that says that if they're sitting and that's not a kvius, then everyone has to make their own bracha, but if they're reclining, then one person can make a bracha for everyone. Rav says that was only talking about by bread, that requires haseba for it to be considered a joint meal. But wine does not need reclining for it to be considered kvius, and even if they're just sitting together, that's enough for one person to make a bracha for everybody else. Rabbi Yechonon Amar, Afele Yain Nami Bayis, Rabbi Yechonon says no, even by wine, just sitting together won't be enough of a kvias, and you have to be reclining for it to be considered a joint meal, that one person should be able to make a bracha for everybody else. The Gemara says, Ikadarmi, that those that say a different version of this machalik is between Rav and Rabbi Yechonon. Amar Rav, Loishon El Apas, the Mahanyele Haseba, this version of Rav has it, that it's only by bread that Haseba will actually help. Aval Yain, Le Mahanyele Haseba, by wine, Haseba won't even help. It's not chashav enough that reclining should make it considered a kvias, a joint meal together. And even if you recline, one person cannot make a bracha for everybody else, and you always have to make your own bracha by wine. Rabbi Yechonon Amar Afele Yain Nami Mahanyele Haseba, and Rabbi Yechonon says no, that even by wine, that Haseba reclining actually helps even for the wine. So we had two different versions. Haseba, again, the reclining is what makes a kvias, makes it into an established meal together. And the first version of Machalikas was, if wine needs to have Haseba for it to be considered kvias. The second version was, if Haseba will even help, possibly wine will not even work, even with Haseba, and you will always have to make your own bracha. According to Rav, the version was always no, that either wine does not need or it won't help. And according to Rabbi Yechonon, it was either that it needs or that it helps. That was the machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yechonon and the two different versions. However, the Gemara now asks, on both versions of Rav regarding wine, that either that it doesn't help Haseba or it doesn't need Haseba, the Gemara asks from a braisa that seems to contradict both versions. Meisvei, we learned Ketzat Seda Haseba. What was the Mahalach? How did they do Haseba reclining, which the actual Gerson Tesefta is the Hasuda? Ketzat Seda Hasuda, what was the order of how they used to have their meals? So the Braisa says, Urchin Nechnosin Abiyeshin Lagabe Safsalon Vagabe Katedrois. The guests would come in and they would sit on, in the outer chamber, in the outside room, they would sit on benches and on chairs. Achikantukum, until all the guests would gather. And Rashi explains that this was the custom that the wealthy people had. They would invite the poor people, and these were the guests. So until everybody came, people would sit on the outside benches, and hiviu lehem mayim, they would bring them water. And this was the custom that they would do. Kol echad ve'echad noitel yodei achas. Everybody would wash his own hand. And as Rashi explains, that this is because it's the cup that they're using to, it's the hand that they would use to drink the cup of wine, which was before the meal. And as Taisa says, that's for the covet of the bracha, that you should wash the hand that you're drinking the wine with. And Taisa says it's not like the halacha of washing one's hands for fruits, which we don't do anymore, and we only do it by the Seder night. That's considered gases aruch gaiva, because here you're not taking two hands, you're only washing one hand. They would wash one hand, and bolhem yayin, so then they would cut, the wine would come to them. Everyone would make his own bracha. Alu v'hesebu, then they would go and they would recline on the beds inside the inner chamber. That was how they used to eat their meals. Uvolhem yayin, and then they got water again. And this was from the Tilas Yudayim. So the Braisa says, Af pish kol echad v'echad noto yodei achas, chayzer v'noitel shtei yodev, although they had already washed one of their hands in the outer chamber, when they made the bracha on the wine, now they would go ahead and wash their hands again, and this was for the purpose of eating the meal for the bread that you have to wash in the Tilas Yudayim. Bolehem Yayin, so now after they washed and they started, they right before the meal, so Bolehem Yayin, Af Bish Kol Echad Ve'echad Be'erich La'atzma, now when the wine comes to them, although everyone had already made their own bracha on the outside, however, now Rashi explains you need to have another bracha. And the reason is because the first bracha does not exempt the bracha, the wine that you're having now in the inner chamber, because the first one is not called shalifnei hamazon, that before the meal, because it wasn't in the same place as where the suda is taking place. It was in the outer chamber, and now you're eating in the inner chamber. And this, the second wine, is the wine which is considered shalifnei hamazon, which is before the meal. They would generally drink before the meal and after the meal, and not necessarily during the meal. So it says in the braisa, echad mevarchel kulam. So now this new wine that you have to make a bracha on, one person would make a bracha for everyone. So the Gemara asks on this brisa on the two versions of Rav. So according to the first version of Rav, that he said that it's only bread that needs haseba, but by wine it doesn't even need haseba. It's always considered kvias if people are sitting together and one person can make a bracha for everyone. So kasha reisha. So then the challenge is from the first part of the brayse that said kol echad ve'echad mevarach le'atzma. It says everyone has to make his own bracha. Why? Even if in the outer chamber, and they're not reclining yet, but Rav said you never need to recline. One person should be able to make a bracha for everyone. To which the Gemara answers, Shani Archin de Datayula Me'ekr. Guests are different in the sense when they're in the outer chamber because they have in mind to leave that room. And as Rashi explains, that since they're ultimately going to leave, this is not the place of where the reclining is. Rather, here they're sitting in the meantime. And this that Rav said that Yain Loi Boya Seba, that wine does not need a Seba, and rather you could just be sitting together, that was either when you're not having a meal, so therefore that's enough of an establishment even when you're sitting, or during a mealtime but in the place where the meal is. Here it's almost a negative that due to the fact that they know they're not planning on staying here that long, so the fact that they're going to leave will make it an anti-kvias and one person cannot make a bracha for the rest, although they're sitting and that's all that you need to have, everyone has to make their own bracha. Now the Gemara questions the second lishna. Ulhaich lishna da amar Rav. According to the second version of Rav, that he said that it's only by bread that actually haseba will work. But yayin, for wine, haseba, reclining, will not even work, and you'll never be able to make one bracha for everybody, and everyone will always have to make his own bracha. Kasha sefer. So then the sefer is challenging, because the sefer said that in the inside room, haseba works. Echad mevarach lekulam. One person makes the bracha for everyone. How can they do that? Haseba doesn't work, and everyone always has to make his own bracha on the wine. The Rishon Gemara answers, Shani Hasam, Demiga de Kamahani Lehaseba Lapas, Mahani Lehaseba Layayin. There it's different. And the reason is because since their Haseba is already working and it's being activated for the bread, for the meal, and as we know from our Mishnah that for bread, for meal purposes, Haseba reclining does work, that everyone's considered a joint meal and one person can make a bracha for everyone. So once that's already activated, it also works for the Yayin and one person can make a bracha for everyone else. So again, although usually wine, kvias does not help, and you can't make a bracha for everyone else, here in this case is different because kvias is already activated through the haseba for the bread. So we have two different versions of this machlekes regarding haseba. Is it only by bread meal that it needs haseba, however, by wine it does not need haseba? Or Rabbi Yochanan that said that no, you even need to have to have, you need haseba even by wine. Well, the second version of the machlekes was that haseba only helps by to be kaveya by bread, and it wouldn't help to be kaveya by wine, versus Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it would even help to be kaveya by wine. So now the Gemara continues, quoting from the Mishnah that said, it said on the Amud Beis, on Mem Beis, that if wine comes in the middle of the meal, that it said, kol echad mevarach la'atzma, everyone makes their own bracha. So the Gemara quotes, shalu es ben zayma, memneima amru, bolehem yayin betoich hamazon, kol echad ve'echad mevarach la'atzma. They asked ben zayma, why is it that if wine comes in the middle of the meal, everybody makes his own bracha, and la'achar mazon echad mevarach l'kulam, but after the meal, everyone, one person can make the bracha for everyone. Why would it be worse during the meal when it would seem to be more of a kviyas almost, that one person cannot make the bracha for everyone, versus the end of the meal, one person can make a bracha for everyone? To which he said, Amar lahem, hoil ve'ein beis habli apani. And the reason is because the throat where people are chewing the food is not clear, and the people cannot think about the bracha that the mevarach is making. They can only focus on swallowing, which is that they should be doing. So therefore, during the meal is different, that since they can't have kavanah, they can't be yotze with the bracha that the mevarach is making. But essentially, kviyas works that one person can make a bracha for everyone, as it is la'acha mazon, after the meal, when people are not actively involved in chewing. The Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah, v'hu oimer ala mugmer v'chulu, we said that the individual that made the bracha on the wine, which comes after the meal, that he made the bracha for everybody, he's the same person that makes the bracha on the incense that's brought for aromatic purposes at the end of the meal. So the Gemara is medayik. Midiktani v'hu oimer ala mugmer, from the fact that the Mishnah says, and he makes the bracha on the mugmer on the incense, mechlal dekodif mene, would seem that means that there's somebody better than him, which would be a reference to Tamach Chochem, that he's the one that's always mevarach tchila. And still, in spite of that, since he started making the brachas, which was the bracha of the wine after the meal, that he should continue to make the brachas in this sense regarding the bracha on the mugma, on the incense. So the Gemara quotes, and the Gesoris take out the next line, Misayei le'rav, that seems to help Rav. V'am Rav Chibar Ashim Rav, Hanoitel yodav tchila ba'achrayna. The first person to wash mayim achrayinim, who mezumen lebracha, he is the one that makes the bracha on the birchas hamazon. And that's the same concept that we're learning from our Gemara, that he's the same one that makes the bracha on the mugmar. And the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this idea. That Rav Reb Chiya, Hava Yosvi Kameh the Rebbe Besudasa. Rav and Reb Chiya were sitting in front of the Rebbe, which was Reb Yehuda Anasi, at the meal. Omale Rebbe L'Rav, Kum Wash Yodach. So Rebbe told Rav, go ahead and wash your hands. He was telling him to go wash my machrayim. So Chazi Dava Mirtas. So Reb Chiya saw that Rav was afraid. He was shaking. And Rashi explains, he said, maybe he saw that my hands were dirty, or maybe I was eating too much. He was worried why Rebbe told him to go ahead and wash my machrayim. So Malay Reb Chiya, so Reb Chiya told Tarav, Bar Pachsi, the son of nobleman, it's the term of nobility. Ayn bebirchis mezoyna kamlach. What he was telling it to you was start looking and preparing birchis amazin, and the reason was the same idea that we're saying, that he was giving you permission to bench, to do the birchis amazin, which is a kavod, and the reason is because the one that noitel yodav tchil, the one who washes my machrayna first, he is the one that's mevarich, so therefore it's not something that you should be afraid of. Fakarit, he was giving you a kavod, that you should be the one to do the birchis amazin. So now the Gemara continues on this theme about birchis areach, about different besamim, aromatic things that you would make a bracha on. So the Gemara says, "Amr Abzeir, Amr Rav Bar Yimra, Meimasam Avarchan Al Reich." When do you make beginning to make the bracha on reich, on something that you're smelling? And this is the shaila that would apply to the halacha that we just mentioned regarding mugmer. So he answered, "Mishatalatim Rasa." If when the smoke starts coming up, that's the closest it could be to the hana. So when the smoke is already there, then you make the bracha. So Amalir Abzeir, Lerab, Lerav Bar Yimra, V'holakarach. But he didn't smell anything yet. And as Rashi explains, since you didn't have a no, what's there to make a bracha on? You can't, there's nothing to make the bracha on. So Amalei, Lutaimeich, Hamoiti Lechem in the Arts, the Mavarach of Halayachal. So he said, and according to you, how do you ever make the bracha of Hamoiti Lechem in the Arts on bread, but he didn't start eating yet? Ela Daite Lamechel. Achaname Daite Laruchis. Obviously, the idea is there's a certain element of das, of intent, that you're going to eat the bread. See, here also, you have intent to smell it, so therefore it's enough that it's in the air and you're about to smell it. And the Mefarshim explained this idea, that we have to make a bracha on something that it's the closest to the hana, the pleasure that you're going to have from that item. So by food, you can hold it, and that's how you're supposed to do it, and you're supposed to hold it in the right hand. However, by besam, the question was that when the smoke is coming, there's nothing to hold, this, how are you going to make a bracha? And that's what he says. The main idea is not the holding, it's the intent behind the holding, it's the manifestation of that intent. That's the idea, and therefore he says it's enough, as long as the smoke is going up, that's when you're going to make the bracha. The Gemara continues on this halacha regarding the bracha on besamim. Amr b'chia b'rei da'aba ba'nachmeini amr b'chizda m'rav. And some say that Amr Rav Chizda Maziri, that it was he who said this halacha. All incense, which is smoke, besam that's being smoked up, you always make a bracha that Hashem is the one that made tree aromatic trees. And the idea behind this halacha that he's saying that although it's burnt, it's being consumed, and it's not ben, it's not visible, and it's just smoke going up. However, the halacha is still that you make bariyatz besamim, because that is the source of the smell. It's coming from a tree, from a piece of wood. However, chutz mi musk, shemin chayu. However, that excludes musk, which comes from an animal, which is the waste product. And therefore, shemavarchin lov bari min besam. There, the bracha would be that Hashem makes different types of aromas of good smells. Again, since it doesn't come from a tree, you can't say bari atz besam. Rather, bari min besam, that Hashem makes many different types of aromatic smells. However, the Gemara now asks on this chiddush regarding the bracha of bari atz besam, that it applies to any state or form that the wood is in, as long as that's the source, and therefore you'll make a bari atz besam, that it's the aromatic trees. The Gemara asks from a baraisa, meisve. In mevarchin bari atz besamim ela ala farasim and shal beis rabbi, vala farasim and shal beis keser, vala hodesh shabchamokim. The Brisa says that you only make a bari atz besam, that Hashem makes aromatic trees, only on balsam wood of the house of rabbi, or on the balsam wood of the Caesar. And as Rashi explains, that it only grabs these cases because it was a very expensive item. It was only commonly found in the houses of royalty and of noblemen. And the hadas and the myrtle branches, which is the hadassim that we use on sukkahs, that's in all places. And Rashi says it's not necessarily just hadas, it's anything just like that, which is that the tree itself you're smelling without it being consumed and being burnt. And the only reason is that hadas is very common, so therefore Chacham picked something which is more common. However, what we see from this price is that by mugmer, you won't make a bari atz b'sam, rather only bari mine b'sam, because you're not smelling the actual branch, you're burning it, and you're smelling the smoke. So how can you say that you make a bari atz b'sam on any type of mugmaris, which are consumed, when we see from the brisa that you only make it on when you're smelling the actual branch itself? To which the Gemara answers, to you if they're correct, that seems to contradict the halacha, and therefore you will not make a bari atz b'sam on mugmaris, on incense, rather a bari mine b'sam. Interesting to know that Tosis brings from the Baal Halachas Gedolos that he didn't have the Girsa Tiyufta, and rather the Gemara answered as follows: Tana Hadas v'chol d'damilei, that it wasn't a contradiction, because Hadas, a myrtle branch, includes anything which is like that, which Tosis explains. It means that if its main purpose is for smelling, then you will make a bari atz b'sam in spite of the fact that it's already consumed. And what it was excluding was apples and chavushim, which are fruits, and their main idea is not for smelling, rather for eating. That's where the bracha will not be bari atz b'sam, and that's what hadas is excluding. But hadas includes everything, even mugmaris, and that's how the Bahag will paskin from his gear, so that you will make a bari atz b'sam even on mugmaris, and it's not a contradiction. Gemara continues with the halach of smelling regarding fragrant oils. This balsam oil, what bracha do you make on it when you smell it? So we thank Hashem that He creates the oil of our lands. And as Rashi says, because it would grow in Yericha. And interesting that the reason why it's called Yericha is because of the reach, of the smell, because it was something that was a very valuable product and it had a good smell, so therefore it was called Yericha. So he says that Hashem makes the oil of our land. So Amalei bar mineid Rav Yehuda, don't bring me proof from Rabbi Yehuda, to chavivu le'eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael is very precious to him. L'kuli al-mamai, according to everybody, what would be the bracha? I mean, he's very, so to speak, a Zionistic in his spirituality, in his ruchni. So therefore, he would focus on it, and he would say, Bar Yishem Na'ar Tzeinu. But what is everyone else? What are the other Tamid HaChacham, what bracha do they make on it? Amalei hocham Rabbi Yechanan, Bar Yishem Na'ar Tzeinu, that Hashem is the one that makes fragrant oils, pleasant oils. That's the bracha that you make on it. Now the Gemara discusses exactly what would qualify for the bracha of bari atz b'sam. When is it in that form that it's considered still a tree and that you make the bracha of bari atz b'sam? Amar Rav Ada bar Hava, hay kesharta mevorchin uloyei bari atz b'sam. This is kesharta is koisht, which is one of the b'sam that was brought into Ketores. So it says you make on it the bracha of bari atz b'sam, because it's considered a tree, of a mishcha kvisha loy. But as Rashi explains, if they would submerge the kach into the oil, and now the oil smelled from the b'sam that was inside of it, so that oil you will not make a bracha of bari atz b'sam, because it's not wood, it's oil that you're making the bracha, and it's not visible. Rav Kahana amar, but Rav Kahana says, afil a mishcha kvisha, even if it's the oil that the kosht is submerged in, you could make a bracha bari atz b'sam because the wood is present and that's what's making the smell. It's just not visible. Of a mishcha t'china loy, but if it's ground down, if it's grinded, the kosht, which is in the oil, so then you won't, because it's not in its original form anymore. So therefore, you won't make a bracha bari atz b'sam. To which Nahardor Yamri, afil a mishcha t'china, they say that even if it's grinded, since ultimately it's there, you will make the bracha bari atz b'samim in spite of the fact that it's not visible, and it's not even its original form. So we had three different shitas regarding what's the gedder of eights, that you'll make a bari atz b'sam, if it has to be visible. The other version was that it has to be in its natural state. And the third version was that even if it's grinded down, it's still okay, since that's what the pleasure is coming from, and it still exists, although in a changed form. Now we continue on to Amud Beis, and the Gemara continues on this same halacha of the bracha of Atzei b'samim and on different things that smell. What is the correct bracha? Amrav Gidl Amrav, Hai Samalak Mavarchin Iloyei Bari Atz b'sam. Rashi explains Samalak is jasmine. It's a type of an herb. You make a bracha Bari Atzei b'sam, that the Hashem is the one that makes the trees, aromatic trees, which the Gemara is going to explain. It seems that it shouldn't be a tree, it's an herb. Another similar halacha, Amrav Chananul Amrav, Hani Chalfid Yama Mavarchan Elayu Borya Atz Besam, which is Shibolis Nerid, which is another one of the Ketairis, the Besam of the Ketairis. You also make a Borya Atz Besam, to which the Gemara asks, Ammazucha, my crop, what's the Pasik? These things would seem to be plants. And although they grow in a similar way, which are standing upright like trees, but they're not an eitz. To which the Gemara answers that we find the source that things that are similar in a sense to trees will be called an eitz, which is a pasuk by Rachav when she hid the spies that were coming in the times of Yeshua when they were coming into Eretz Yisrael. It says, V'hi alosim agage, she brought them up to the roof, v'titmenim bepishtei etz, and she hid them in the woods of flax. And obviously we know that flax is not wood, but since it has a similar personality, so to speak, like the tree, therefore it's going to be considered a eitz, and that's the same halacha regarding jasmine and shebeles ned, that it's in that sense it's considered a eitz, and that it gets the bracha b'ri atzibisam. Gemara continues with another item, which it also has this question, hi narkim, regarding a rose. So the Gemara says it depends on what type of rose. If it's the garden variety, then you make a bracha b'ri atzibisam, to which the Rishonim debate if it's because it's hard like a tree, so therefore it gets the characteristics of a tree, and that's why you'll make a b'ri atz b'sam, or because, like we know regarding the brachas of peiris ha'ilon, that you make a b'ri pir eitz, doesn't really depend if it's a tree or a bush, it depends if it's something that lasts from year to year, that gives it the characteristic of a tree, and this rose, this garden variety, since it lasts from year to year, it's considered in halacha as a tree, and that's why you'll make a bracha b'ri atz b'sam. However, the dabra b'ri isvei b'sam, but if it's the wild version, then you'll make a bracha that Hashem is the one that makes fragrant herbs. That's isvei b'sam. Amar Rav Sheshes, hani sigli mevarchen alayu b'ri isvei b'sam. Regarding violets, it's considered like an herb, and that's why you make a bracha of b'ri isvei b'sam. Amar Mazucha, haiman demorich be'esrego oi b'chavoysha oi mebarch shenosin reich toiv b'peres. That it's different regarding fruits, for example, an estrog or a quince, that although these things smell good also, you're not going to make a b'ri. Rather, has a unique bracha that Hashem is the one that gives a good smell into the fruits, and that as we saw in Taisis on the previous Amid, that the reason is since their main purpose is for eating, not for smelling, it doesn't get the bracha of b'ri atzei b'sam, rather it gets its own bracha that Hashem gives a good smell into fruits. Interesting, Taisis says that it's only if your intent is to smell it. But if you're coming to eat it, and as you're eating it, that esrog has a good smell, you will not make the berich zarech, rather you'll only make the bracha of bari priya eitz, or whatever the proper bracha is on that fruit. Now the Gemara says another bracha related to when fruits are coming out on trees. Amar Rav Yehuda, Haiman did nafik b'yemin nisan. Whoever's going out in the days of Nisan and he's seeing the first blooms, v'chazi ilni de komalav levein, he sees the fruit trees that are blossoming, so he says the following bracha, Hashem is gebenched that there's nothing lacking in this world. And he created good creations and good trees, which our version is lahanis ben bani adam, to give pleasure to people. That's the whole purpose that Hashem made everything that we need in this world. And the reason is to give us pleasure. Now the Gemara continues with the halachas of birchas arech, and specifically regarding the actual source, how do we know? Amrav zutte bar tov yom arav, minayin shemavorchen al arech. How do we know that you make a bracha on reach? And the Mefarshim explain that reach, smelling, seems to be different than all other pleasures in the world. And the reason is because there's no me'ila when someone has kachim, there's no me'ila when you're smelling a kachim. And although the main purpose of this world is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us pleasure, and there's an isra, as we learned in the beginning of this parak, regarding having enough in this world without pleasure. But the question is, how do we know that there's a bracha that we actually make on the reach? And the Gemara answers, Shenema, kol neshama ta'alka. It says, every soul, every neshama, has to praise Hashem. So the Gemara is medayik. Ezehu davir shaneshama nenis mimenu, ve'ein haguf nenim mimenu. What is it that the soul, neshama, has pleasure from, and that the body doesn't have pleasure from? Why does it say that every neshama should praise Hashem in contrast to the whole person, which includes his body? So what would be specifically just a spiritual hanah? That's smelling. Smelling does not have any part of the bodily process. It's purely spiritual. And that's why it says in the pasuk, kala neshama ta'alka, to include something which is ruchnius. And that's why in Shavuos, Mefarshim say that when we celebrate the Torah, which is the ruchnius, that's why we have a grass, and because something that smells, that's the same idea, because it's a ruchnius, the good pleasure, and that's what we're celebrating on Shavuos. Now Gemara continues with a few other memories from Rav Zudi Bar Tuvi, once we quoted him in this halacha.
Vam Rav Zudi Bar Tuvi Omer Rav, Asidim Bachuri Yisrael, Shiitner Reich Tev Kalvonen.
that it will be in the times of Mashiach that the Bachrim of Yisrael will have a good smell, like Levon, which is that people would smell their leaves and their blossoms. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk of those days, Yelchu Yan Kaisav, that the young ones will go, Vihi Chazai is Hoida, and his glory will be like an olive, Verech like Levon, and he'll have a good smell like Levon. And that's what we see, that they'll have this good aroma surrounding them. Another statement, Vamrav Zud Bratov Yomarav, what's this pasuk in Kehelet that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made everything beautiful in its time? What is the understanding of this pasuk? So the Rav Zutra Bar Tovia says, in the name of Rav, Malamech kol echad ve'echad yipolei HaKadosh Baruch Hu m'nosa b'fanav. That interesting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for every person in his eyes, he made it beautiful, his own profession. And as Rashi says, that even a borsi, a tanner, he thinks his profession is a beautiful profession. And the reason for that is that Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want the world to be lacking any professions. So the way you do that is everyone wants to do what he thinks is the best thing. So that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu made every person should be appreciating and think that his profession is the most beautiful. And the Gemara comments on this. Amar Rav Papa, Haini de Amri Inchi, this is the common adage that people would say, Tolele Koyre L'Dover Achar V'Ihu Didei Ovid, that tie a palm shoot around a chazer and he'll do his thing, which is that he'll roll around in the mud with it because that's his profession. So therefore, it means that everybody does it his way, his style, and that's what they're used to doing. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants it like that because he doesn't want the world to be lacking any profession. And the Gemara continues with another statement. This statement says that a torch is like two people and the moon is like three, which means regarding going out at nighttime, where there's a halacha that a person should not go out alone at night. So halacha is that when he goes with a torch, it's like there's two people, and when there's the moon visible, it's like three people. And the Gemara is going to explain what is the difference between two or three. It's just that you can't go by yourself. So the Gemara first questions, Iboilhu, avuku kishnayim bahadi didei, idilma avuku kishnayim labarmi didei. When it said that the torch is like two people, does it mean together with him, that he's one and the torch is one, therefore it's two? Or to mean that the torch is like two even without him, and therefore it'll be three with him? So the Gemara says, Toshima. The end of that statement says, "V'irich k'shloisha," that the moon is like three. So, "I'amid b'shleima b'hadi didei," that it means that with him it's two. So then, shapir would make sense that why it would mean that the moon is like three because there's a significance of three. "Eli'amid l'varmi didei," but if you would say that it means two without him, so therefore the moon is three without him, that means with him it's four. Abba l'amali, why do I need four people at the nighttime? As the Gemara explains, "V'amamar." It said regarding the danger of walking at nighttime, which is because of shadim, of mazikin, of demons. So le'echad nira mazik, when there's only one person, the shade is visible and he can harm the person. Le'shnayim nira vein mazik, when there's two people, he's visible but he won't harm the person. Le'shloisha in nira kalikar, when there's three people, he's not even visible at all. So we see that there's a difference between one, two, and three, but from three to four, there's no difference. So what would be the purpose of saying irech k'shloisha with him that it's four, if there's no element of shmira with being four? So obviously the Gemara says it must mean that the torch is two with the person, that he's one and the torch is one, that's two, and therefore the moon is two with him, it's three, and that is a purpose because then it's not even near kalikar, it's not even visible at all, versus when he's going out with a torch, it'll be visible but it won't harm him. But four, there would be no significant difference between three and four. The Gemara continues with another statement. And some say that the statement was from Amr Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon ben Yochi, a famous statement. It would be easier, it would be better for the person. And that's a dik that Rabbi Leib Chasmon of the Gedolei Musa says. The word noyach is that it's so to speak easier for him. That he should throw himself into a fiery furnace. He should not embarrass the face of his friend in public. And where do we know this halacha from? Menola mitamar. It says that she was being taken out, etc. Which this is the parasha between Yehuda and Tamar, that Tamar was his daughter-in-law and he wasn't giving his other son to her. And then Yehuda, unbeknownst to him, had relations with Tamar. And then he found that she was pregnant. She said that she has to go out to be killed because she wasn't allowed to be with anyone. And then what she did was, she didn't say that these are the simanim of Yehuda and to him I'm pregnant. Rather, she said the following words. Le'ish asher eila loy onoichihar. Said for the following man, that it's his stick and his seal, that's the man that I'm pregnant to. And her cheshmah was that if he admits, if not, I'm going to get burnt. And this is the idea because al yabim p'nei chaver b'ram. She didn't want to embarrass him. And she didn't want to say that it's you, because then he would have been embarrassed. Or rather, throw yourself into a fiery furnace, be burnt, than to embarrass another person. And we know this halacha from Tamar. The Gemara continues, quoting the halachas regarding the things regarding smelling, but also regarding the order, the precedence of the brachas. Tamar Rabban, hiviyu lefan of shemen v'hadas. So let's say they brought him oil and hadasim, which Rashi explains that it was at the end of the Suda that they would use the oil to smear the hands, to take care, they could take off the dirt. And the hadas was there to smell, as we said. They would smell at the end of the meal, which Taisa says it has to be that the oil was there for smelling purposes, not to get rid of the dirt. Because Taisa says on Daf Nun Gimlet says that you don't make a bracha on that oil. So he argues on Rashi. But the idea is that we have two things. We have oil and hadasim, and they're both there for smelling purposes. So which one do you make a bracha on first? First you make the bracha on the oil and then on the hadas. First you make the bracha on the hadas, on the myrtle, and then on the oil. So Amr Gamliel says, I am going to decide, I'm going to be the final vote, and which is he held like Bishamai. And that is, why like Bishamai that you do the oil first? Because Shemen Zachinu L'Reichle V'Zachinu L'Zachas, we have two benefits that we get out of oil. We get its smell, and we get that we use it to anoint it. As Rashi says, that's the Mishcha Kvisha, and therefore it's better. It gets to two benefits that we can use, smelling and anointing. Hadas L'Reichle Zachinu L'Zachas L'Zachinu, however, by Hadas, the myrtle, we only have its smell, but we don't have it for smearing. Therefore, the one that gives us more pleasure is more Chashiv, and that's why we make the Bracha in the first. Rabbi Yochanan says that that tak is the halacha like Gamliel, who is the decider, which is like Bishlamai, not like Bishil, and first you make the bracha on the oil. However, the Gemara brings an incident that Rav Papa iklul be Rav Huna b'ridavik. Rav Papa went to Rav Huna's house, Aisul kameyu shemen v'hadis, and they brought actually these two things in front of him, the oil and the hadis. Shakla Rav Papa bercha hadis b'reish, of hadis bercha shemen, but he first made the bracha on the hadis and then on the oil. Don't you agree to the statement that was said in the Beis Medrash that the halacha is like the desire, like a mlil, that we first make the bracha on the oil and then on the hadis, which you did not do? Rabbi said, no, halacha kebisil, the halacha is like bisil, and therefore that's why I first make the bracha on the hadis. To which the Gemara comments, v'lohi, this is not true. He did this to get out of it, which is that Rava never said halacha is like bisil, but Rav Papa was embarrassed since he made the mistake. And to get out of it, he said that the halacha really is like that, but in truth, we don't follow that, and the halacha was never said like that. And the halacha is like Bishamai, that you first make a bracha on the oil. But it's interesting that Taisa says that that's our girsa, and that's the way Rashi's girsa was. But the Rif Paskin's like Rava, and it's mashma that he did not have the girsa in his sefer, that Velohi and the way we have it, but rather that the halacha would be like Rava, which is like Bishol, that you first make the bracha on the hadas and not on the oil. Now the Gemara brings a similar machlekes between two different items that are brought to the person. Tan Rabban, he viu lefneim shemen v'yamim, if it's brought in front of the people eating at the meal at the end of the Suda, oil and wine, which is, this is the wine that comes after the meal, and it's not the Kreshal Bracha which comes after Birch Samadhan, rather it's before benching, but after the meal they're bringing the oil and the wine. So the machlekes is Bishami Oimim Iches Hashemet Biminoi Vesayin Bismoili. You hold the oil in your right hand and the wine in the left hand. And the reason why is because since the Shemen is the one that you have to make the bracha on, you always hold the item that you're making the bracha on your right hand. So and he explains this. The Mavarach al Shemen, Bechayz Mavarach al Yain. The first you make the bracha on the oil, which Rashi says is Bari Shemen Arv, that he makes pleasant oils. And then you make the bracha on the wine, which is, although we know that the wine before the meal exempts the wine after the meal, here we're talking about during the weekday where there's no establishment, there's no kviyas on the yain, so therefore you have to make another bracha on the wine at the end of the meal before Birchas Hamazon. So Bishamai says first oil, then wine, and therefore you hold the shemen, the oil, in your right hand. Basil says no. Oiches is a yain b'minai versus a shemen b'smaili. Rather, you hold the wine in your right hand and the oil in the left hand. And mevarach al yain, v'chayz mevarach al shemen. That first you make the bracha on the wine and then on the oil. So then the Braisa comments. So what do they do with the oil that they would anoint on their hand? V'tochu b'reisha shamash. Afterwards, they would smear the oil on the head of the shamash of the attending waiter. And the reason is that the person should not go out into the street with himself all perfumed up, because he smeared it on hand, because it's embarrassing for a Talmud Chacham to walk into the street that way. However, the Gemara says, "Vim shamash Talmud Chacham hu tacha b'kaisel." But if the shamash himself is a Talmud Chacham, so they can't smear it on his head, because then he's going to smell all perfumed up. Rather, you should wipe it on the wall. And the reason the Gemara says, because it's embarrassing for a Talmud Chacham to go out into the marketplace when he's all perfumed up, which segues into the next Gemara. The Gemara brings a braisa regarding different things that's embarrassing for a Talmud Chacham. Tarnabon, shisha dvarm gnailo Talmud Chacham. There are six things that are embarrassing for a Talmud Chacham. The first one being the halacha we just said. Al yitzik kishu mevusim l'shuk. He should not walk out into the marketplace when he's all perfumed up. And the Gemara is going to explain all these six different things. The second one is, Val yitzi yichidi balayla, he should not be walking out alone at night. Third one is, Val yitzi bimin olam amtulam, he should not go out into the street with patched up shoes. The fourth one is, Val yisaprim isha bashuk, he should not be speaking with a woman out in the marketplace, out in the open. The fifth one is, Val yisiv b'chabur shalam ha'oretz, he should not sit around in the gathering of amei ratzim, of people that are not tamid ha'chacham. And the sixth one is, he should not be the last one into the Beis HaMedrash. The Yeshayim, and some say a seventh idea, is Aflo Yafsi Psiya Gasa Val Yahalch Bekumis Kofa. He should not go and take large strides, and he should not go with an erect posture. That's not how a Talmud Chacham walks. And if he does, it's embarrassing. So now the Gemara explains. Al Yitzik Shemavusim L'Shuk, he should not go out into the marketplace all perfumed up. So the Gemara explains the reason for this. This is b'makim shechashudim al mishkav zacher. It's a place where people are suspect of being homosexual, and as Rashi says, is because their custom was that they would perfume themselves, that the other zacher should have a taiva for them. So therefore, it's degrading for a Talmud Chacham to walk out like this because of the suspicion of mishkav zacher. However, the Gemara qualifies this. We only said this iser only if it's on the person's clothing. But if it's on the person's body, then it's mutter, because the sweat eliminates the smell and it neutralizes it and negates that smell. So therefore, there's no iser of having to perfume on one's body. However, so then the question becomes, so what's the halacha regarding the hair? Is here like the body, which would be mutter, or is it like the clothing, which is also? So there's two different versions of what Rav Papa said. First version says that his hair is like his clothing and that it's aser. And the reason is because there's not so much sweat on the person's hair, and therefore it's going to be aser. But Amri Lakagufa Dami, some say that no, that his hair is like his body and it's going to be mutter because it is common to have sweat there, and therefore it'll neutralize the perfume. Those are the two different versions of what the halacha is regarding the hair. Then the next item was, Vayitzi Yechidi Balayla, they should not go out alone at night. What's the reason for that iser? And the reason is, Mishum Chashada, because of the suspicion of Znus, of promiscuity, that why is he going out alone, where is he going, so late at night. However, the Gemara qualifies this, it's only if he does not have a set time that he learns with his Rebbe, learning at night, he has a night Seder. But if he has a set Seder, set time learning, then everybody knows where he's going to learn his Seder at night. The next item was, he should not go out with patched up shoes. So the Gemara says, so this helps and it seems to say the same idea that Reb Chiya Bar Abba said. That it's embarrassing for a Talmud Chacham to walk out with patched up shoes. He has to be Bakavadik. To which the Gemara asks, Reb Chiya Bar Abba Nafik, he himself went out with patched up shoes. How could he say that it's embarrassing when he walked like that? So it means it has to be that not only is it patched, but it's patching among patchings. That's embarrassing. And another qualification is, it's only on the top part of the shoes, which is visible. Of begilda less lamba, but if it's on the sole, it's on the bottom part of the shoes, then we're not bothered because then it's not visible. And finally, the Gemara says, ubepansa loyamaran el beurcha, that in the top part of the shoe, it's not a problem, only on the road. Of bebeisa less lamba, but in one's house, that's not a problem because again, no one sees that, so you can walk around with such shoes in the house. And similarly, the Gemara says, that it's only a problem in the summertime, that then when it's going to be visible, that it's a problem of sham less lamba, but in the winter months, where it's anyways covered with mud and it's all covered and it's not visible anyway, So therefore, it's going to be mutter in the Yemois HaGshamim, even if it's patched among patches. So we had four different qualifications for the Isser of a Talmud Chacham walking out patched our shoes. First of all, it has to be that it's patching among patches. It has to be double patched. Second of all, it has to be that it's in the upper part of the shoe. Third of all, it has to be that it's when someone's on the outside, not on the inside of his house, because then it's not embarrassing. And finally, it's that it only has to be in the Yemois HaChama, in the summertime. But during the wintertime, it's not a problem, because then it's not visible because it's covered in the mud, and so it's not going to be embarrassing for Talmud Chacham to walk like that. The next item that the Raisa had said was Vayisaprim Isha Bashuk. You should not be speaking with a woman in the marketplace. So the Gemara qualifies this and says, Amar Rav Chisda Afilu Hi Ishta, this is even if it's one's wife. And the reason for this is because not everybody knows who is his wife, and they're still going to suspect him that he's speaking with a woman in public. Tanya Amhoch, we learned a similar braisa. Afilu Hi Ishta, even if it's his wife. Afilu Hi Bita, even if it's his daughter. Afilu Hi Achis, even if it's his sister. And the reason is, again, not everybody's knowledgeable knowing who his relatives are. And therefore, it's degrading and embarrassing when you see a Talmud Chacham speaking with a woman out in the public in the shuk. The next item the braisa said was, Vayesiv b'chabur shal amaratz. You should not be sitting around a gathering of amiratzim, of people of lower stature. And my time, what's the reason for that? Is he might come to follow them, is so to speak, the influence of bad friends. Therefore, it's embarrassing for a Talmud Chacham to be hanging around such a crowd. And finally, the sixth item was, you should not be the last one into the Beis HaMikdash. And what's the reason? Because then people are going to call him negligent, lazy. He's not a true mevakish and Torah. Therefore, you shouldn't be the last one. And others said, some say that he shouldn't even take large strides, which the Mefarshim say that it's more than 2 feet long. And the reason for this is, taking large strides takes away 1/500th of a person's light of his eyes, and especially Talmud Chacham, who that's how he has his vision of Torah, and he understands the depths of Torah. Therefore, it's g'nai for him to take large steps. So Maita Kante, how can one repair that if one did that? So the Gemara says, Lahadri b'kedusha de Beis HaMikdash, he could bring it back, he could restore it with the Kiddush of Friday night. When he drinks that Kiddush, that restores his vision. And that's similar to the custom that we have to look at the wine on the Friday night. This is all part of the idea of Lahadri b'kedusha de Beis HaMikdash, that brings back one's vision. And the second half of that statement was, while yahalich b'kumis kufa, should not walk with an erect posture. And the reason is, damamara mahalich b'kumis kufa, afila arba ames, if one walks with an erect posture, even 4 ames, kilu doichig uragli shchina, it's as if he's pushing away the feet of the shchina, which the Mefarshim say is a chiddush, that even the feet, which is the lowest part of the shchina, even that he's pushing away. Dechsiv maloi chalarz kavayit, it says that Hashem's glory fills the whole world. And it's almost as if this person is like pushing against it, as if he's picking up his head and he's walking 4 amos, which is, so to speak, taking up his space. That is a g'nai for a Talmud Chacham. So we had 6 different things that's a g'nai. One is to walk out into the marketplace when he's all perfumed up. The second one is that he shouldn't be walking alone at night. Third one is that he shouldn't be walking out with patched up shoes. Fourth one is that he shouldn't be speaking with a woman outside in the open. Fifth one is that he shouldn't be hanging around with the chabur of Amar Hatzim. And finally, that he shouldn't be the last one into the Beis Medrash. And some add on even that he shouldn't be walking with a kumas kufa and taking large strides. However, the Gemara does qualify that these things don't apply always. It's in specific situations where these things are embarrassing for a Talmud Chacham.